Good afternoon, everyone. It's a privilege to be sharing with you this afternoon, and I trust that we shall feel the presence of the Lord together as we open His Word and as we meditate upon its truth. Let's bow together in prayer. We thank you, Father, for this book that you've given to us to be a guide to our path, to be a revelation of your truth to our hearts. And we pray that you will give to us understanding as we share together some of those truths today. We thank you, Father, for your love toward us, and we thank you for your great grace. And we look to you now and for the help of your Holy Spirit as we turn to this word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In the Bible reading that we had earlier in the service, it was about the giving of the Ten Commandments. And we were introduced here to one of the great words of the Old Testament. It's a word that's used repeatedly to describe the character of God. And you might get tied up with the pronunciation of it, but it's the word chesed. It's a very wonderful word. It's a word that describes God's character and God's nature. It's one of the great Hebrew words of the Old Testament. When chesed is used to describe the Lord God, it's always in association with truth. When John describes Jesus as coming from God the Father, he referred to him as being full of grace and truth. God keeps his chesed, and he is the God who was always true. He's true to his nature, he's true to his character, and he's true to his word. But when chesed is used in connection with God, it is always associated with righteousness. When God does something, it is always just. But chesed is also associated with long-suffering. Because God is not only just, but God is patient. So chesed has a very rich meaning, and it can be translated in many different ways. Chesed gathers up mercy, the loving kindness, the divine compassion, and the pity of God, and it reveals to us that God is not only a God of righteousness, but he is a God of patience. Now I want to give you a glimpse this afternoon into the character of God, the God that keeps chesed. And it's my prayer that this truth may so grip your soul that it will be a source of strength in all the situations of life that come to you. I want you to take this truth with you as you face life's journey. Take it with you until you see Jesus and are presented before his presence with great joy, where you will be able to say with thanksgiving, "This is the God who right throughout my life has kept chesed." You see, keeping chesed means that God will never change. God is absolutely trustworthy. His love toward us will know neither measure nor end. And you know, my friends, we do live in a world where people make promises, and sometimes they're genuine promises, but they're unable to keep them. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. There are no ulterior motives behind his promises. We can pin our hope, our faith, and our certainty that today, tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow, God will be just the same. So let me show you from Scripture how God is the God who keeps chesed even in times when we fail, in all the changing circumstances of life. You see, God's chesed love is good in the days of youth and marriage and middle life. It's good when we're living in the heat and the burden of the day. It's good when we're among friends and when we're among enemies. It's good when we're in the majority and when we're in the minority. God keeps chesed. It never changes because it's unfailing love. So first of all, let me share with you how God keeps chesed in the great necessities of life. And I think this is best illustrated by David's experience. You all know the Psalms of David. You know Psalm 23. And David's testimony in this psalm seems to be this. As he looks back over his life, he says, I've lacked nothing. I've never wanted for a meal. God has made me to lie down in green pastures. I've never had persistent mental troubles because he's restored my mind. I've never lost my way because he's always gone before me and guided me in my path. I've never been afraid of the dark because I know he's walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I've never feared sickness because my God has a pot of oil to anoint me and heal me. And I don't fear death because he's going to take me safely into his presence and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is what God's chesed love meant to David. It was a covenantal love. It was a love that provided for all his needs. David trusted a faithful God that would never give him up, never let him down, and never let him go. But David throws some more light on this God that keeps chesed in Psalm 103. And here David experiences God's chesed love in the midst of misery and guilt. And in this psalm, David thinks about his many blunders. He thinks of his sin, of the things that he's ashamed of. But as he looks back at his mistakes, his follies, his wickedness, over his deliberate sins, he could say, God met me in them too. The God that keeps chesed, the God that's full of loving kindness and tender mercy. He's redeemed my life from worthlessness. He's forgiven my lack of values. He's cleansed my dirty soul. He's healed the sickness of my heart. And in verse 4 he says, as I look forward to the future, I was hell-bound, but he saved my life from destruction. And all of this because he is the God that keeps chesed. In verse 8 he seems to sum up the character of God. He says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. You see, David could say, his love is part of his covenant to me, because God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And therefore, it's loving kindness and tender mercy all the way. So God is the God that keeps chesed in life's great necessities. But he's the God that keeps chesed in life's great responsibilities. And this is illustrated by Eliezer's experience. Do you remember Eliezer in Genesis 24? Eliezer was Abraham's faithful servant. And before Abraham died, he made him promise that he would get a wife for his son Isaac, not from the idolaters of the land, but get a wife from among the Jewish people. And we read in Genesis 24 and verse 10, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master, and set out for Aram and made his way to the town of Nahor. And verse 11, he made the camels kneel down by the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Now what a great responsibility this was for Eliezer. He had been given the task of choosing a wife for another man. Now I wouldn't like that responsibility. And particularly when we remember in Eliezer's case, the girl that he was to choose was not only to be Isaac's bride, but the great-grandmother of Jesus Christ. Now, if this woman fails, the seed royal fails. And here is old Eliezer, Abraham's servant, who's been given this tremendous responsibility to make sure he makes no mistakes. So what does he do? When he gets to the far country, he kneels down by the well and he prays. And this is what he prays in verse 12. Then he prayed, O Lord God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show chesed to my master Abraham. There's that word again. The word in English is kindness, but it's the Hebrew word chesed. Show kindness to my master Abraham. Show chesed to my master Abraham. And what he was saying to God was this: Lord, you promised Abraham when he was in the Ur of the Chaldees that you would give him a son. And now that son needs a bride. Lord, you did the impossible for Abraham, and you gave him a son in old age. Then you tested Abraham's faith by asking him to sacrifice his son Isaac on the top of Mount Moriah. Lord, you did the impossible and provided the ram in the thickets to be sacrificed in the place of the boy. Lord, do it again. Keep chesed. Let your covenantal love, Lord, not run out on Abraham. Provide a bride for him now. And after Eliezer had prayed, you remember, he made a little scheme through which he would know whether God had kept chesed. And verses 13 and 14 tell us, he says, see, I'm standing beside this spring. The daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, please let down your jar and may I have a drink, and she says, drink and I will water your camels to, let her be the one that you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this will I know that you have shown chesed, to my master." And verse 15 goes on, "Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor." And in verse 16, "The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up again. And the servant hurried to meet her and said, 'Please give me a little water from your jar.' 'Drink, my lord,' she said, and quickly lowered the jar through her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him a drink, she said, 'I will water your camels too until they have finished drinking.' So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, went back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels." Now Eliezer's heart must have skipped a beat as Rebekah did exactly what he had requested. And I'm sure that as Eliezer went back with her to her house to explain to her parents that now was the time for her to come down to Isaac, to become his bride, he would be saying in his heart, "Lord God, thank you. Thank you because you have kept chesed. You have shown again your covenantal love, your loving kindness, your tender mercy." My friends, what does this story have to say to us? Well, I believe it says to us that whenever we have got an important responsibility, we can ask God, like Eliezer, to keep chesed with us. Now, what are some of the responsibilities that we might have? Well, we all have loved ones who are not yet saved. We all have loved ones who are not yet married to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not yet part of his bride, the church. And so we need to pray the prayer of Eliezer, "Lord, keep chesed toward my son, toward my daughter. Keep chesed toward my mother, my father. Keep chesed toward that other member of the family that still does not know your redeeming love. Show your covenantal love to these people, Lord. You do not wish that any should perish, but everyone should come to repentance." You see, this marvellous word, chesed, God loves us with an everlasting love. And we need to ask this covenantal God to help us to fulfil our responsibility towards our loved ones, to those that God has laid upon our heart. We need to thank him that the promise of salvation is for us and our children and for all who are afar off and for all on whom the Lord our God will call. Acts 2:39. Lord, you're the God of faithfulness and truth. Keep chesed. Keep your covenantal love. Help me to fulfill my responsibility like Eliezer and bring my loved ones into the kingdom of your love. But God keeps chesed also in life's great extremities. Now, I believe that you've studied the book of Ruth, so you ought to know the story very well. The story of Naomi, it's recorded in the book of Ruth. She was a Jewess that lived in Judah. But you remember she was forced to go and live in the country of Moab. because there was a severe famine in the land. She had scarcely got into the land of Moab when her two sons married Moabitess girls, Orpah and Ruth. And then those two men died in that far country. And broken-hearted Naomi says, "I'm going back to Bethlehem." And the two girls came with her as far as the international boundary. And there she looked those two lovely girls in the eye and she said, "You are still so young. I can't ask you to don the widow's habit, to come back with me to Bethlehem." And so she said, "God bless you and goodbye." And we can take up that story in the book of Ruth in chapter 1, and we can read in verses 14 through 19 these words, "And they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, 'Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me.' When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem." Now, over to chapter 2, and read verses 2 and 3, and we pick up the story. "And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I have found favor.' And she said, 'Go, my daughter.'" Verse 3, "So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech." And then down to verse 17 that says, "So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it and gave Naomi what was left after she was satisfied. Her mother-in-law then said to her, 'Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz.'" And verse 20 of chapter 2 says, "And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives, one of our kinsmen redeemers.'" Now, it's a lovely story. You should notice the words in this last verse: "The Lord has not withdrawn his kindness, his chesed." The Lord has not withdrawn his chesed to the living or to the dead. And so the story goes on to tell us that Ruth the Moabitess, who said, "Your people will be my people, And your God, my God, found that she was brought into the very lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ because she married Boaz. She became the grandmother of Jesse, the father of David. And Luke tells us that Joseph and Mary belonged to the house and the line of David. You see, Ruth, although she was a heathen Moabitess, became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus. My friends, in the midst of life's great extremities, in the midst of disaster, God kept chesed. He'd shown his kindness, his goodness, his mercy, his tender love to Naomi and Ruth. And what a tremendous encouragement this is to us. God has no favourites. God is the unchangeable one. He's the God of faithfulness and truth. And this story says to us that when we're in a situation where we've been reduced to the irreducible minimum, when we come to the end of our resources, when we're at the end of our tether, when we're at what the Bible calls wit's end corner, when nothing more can go wrong, it's in the midst of that situation that God keeps chesed. Paul puts it in that famous verse, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You see, God began to move in Ruth's life when she committed herself to God. And in spite of the circumstances, she trusted him to be faithful to his word and faithful to his character. And you see, God's character never changes. Circumstances change, but God's character never changes because he is the God that keeps chesed. And then finally, God keeps chesed in life's great infidelities. And this is illustrated in that beautiful story of Joseph, where Joseph relies upon God in the midst of betrayal. You remember it so well. Joseph was a young man who deserves our admiration because his sufferings came because of his faithfulness to God. His whole life is a testimony of God keeping his covenantal love to his servant. And because Joseph knew that God was the God that kept chesed, even in the midst of betrayal, he was able to rely upon God. And you remember how Joseph was taken and sold into the house of Potiphar? And I believe that Joseph began his day with God because he was a man of God. He began his day with God. And he reminded him, I'm sure, that he was a God that keeps chesed, the one who shows him loving kindness and tender mercy and goodness throughout all the days of his life. And you remember how God prospered him down there in Egypt. And more than that, God prospered his master Potiphar. And you remember how Potiphar's wife set her eyes upon Joseph, and he fled from her presence, and rather than sin against his master and sin against God, and because Potiphar's wife accused him of being loose, Joseph was put in jail. And he'd not been there very long before he was joined by the baker and the butler from the palace. And this jail was where Pharaoh kept his political prisoners. And while they were in prison, the butler and the baker had dreams, And Joseph interpreted the dreams. And in the course of time, the butler was released and resumed his duties in the palace. And before he left, Joseph asked him to speak to Potiphar on his behalf. But the butler forgot. And the years went by, and Joseph was left to languish in the prison. It was while he was in that dark, dirty prison, because of his faithfulness to the living God, that God said to him, "Joseph, I am the God that keeps chesed. I am the God that keeps chesed." And the Bible puts it this way in Genesis 39 and verse 21. While Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed him his chesed love. He showed him kindness and granted him favour. And the story tells us that Pharaoh himself had a twice repeated dream, and Joseph was taken from the dungeon, and through his God-given ability to interpret dreams, he rose to be the second only to Pharaoh himself. And when the years of plenty were past, and the years of famine came, and his brothers came down to Egypt, and he finally revealed himself to them, they pleaded for his mercy. And Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. You intended it to harm me, but God intended it for good, because he is the God that keeps chesed." My friends, often we're betrayed. We suffer at the hands of evil people, and sometimes we wonder at this treatment. I pray that we will learn from Joseph's experience that God is the God of our circumstances. God uses every situation. He uses the infidelities of life when people let us down to accomplish his purpose, to accomplish his plan for our life. And as we learn to rely upon him and rely upon his faithfulness, he will keep chesed for us. Others may intend to harm us, but God intends it all for our good. He can make the wrath of man to praise him. Now, we've been looking in the Old Testament and learning how God is a covenant-keeping God, and that his love and mercy and kindness and goodness is adequate for every situation in life. But you know, the New Testament tells us that the Lord Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, of a new chesed, of a new chesed. His blood is the blood of sprinkling, which can purge the conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's the blood of the new covenant, the blood by which the covenant of grace is inaugurated. Jesus gave himself upon the cross in voluntary self-sacrifice to die for me, to die for the many, to die for all. As John reminds us, he is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, the blood that Jesus shed for the forgiveness of sins. It was the blood of the new covenant, the blood that cleanses from all sin. Because of what the Lord Jesus has done, God fulfills his new covenant, his new chesed today. God is a God that keeps chesed, my friends. That's my testimony this afternoon. I have proved it in all the situations of life. God's character never changes. God's purpose never changes. God's chesed never changes. He always keeps his loving, faithful, steadfast covenant with his people. And God will keep chesed for us. God will keep chesed for us in the midst of responsibility, in the midst of disaster, in the midst of failure, in the midst of betrayal. The God whom we love and whom we seek to serve is the God who is faithful and true. And we must trust him in every circumstance of life, in the midst of life's great necessities, in the midst of life's great responsibilities, in the midst of life's great extremities, and in the midst of life's great infidelities. And then, surely goodness and chesed will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us bow in prayer. Father, break the bread of life to us this afternoon, I pray. Take these wonderful truths and make them real in each of our experience, Lord. You know us through and through. You know everything about us. Help us to rely upon you, no matter what our situation. And know deep down in our hearts and in our experience that you are the covenantal God that keeps chesed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.